Going to be spending our time this morning looking at Luke chapter 10 and the verses from which Brother Weatherby read this morning. So if your Bible is open to those, to that passage, you can leave it at that passage. It's certainly good that we can be together this morning. Appreciate the presence of everyone. As visitors, we're grateful you're here, and to those of us who worship here regularly, it's certainly encouraging and a wonderful blessing that we have to be together this morning. We completed Wednesday night our series of meetings with Josh Creel. I had six excellent lessons dealing with faith. Appreciate his work so very much, and I know it was beneficial to all of us who were in attendance during those meetings. We're going to look at this familiar story here in Luke chapter 10, not to look so much at what the story means, but we're going to be looking at the story, and as we look at the story, we're going to find out how to answer Bible questions. How does a person go about finding out what God wants them to do? And certainly that's an important question, and I believe one that is greatly misunderstood by most people. Let's begin in verse 25. And what we're going to see in this story is an example of biblical interpretation. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 25, the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" And so here is this lawyer as he is identified. And he comes to Jesus, and the Bible tells us that he is testing or he is tempting Jesus. We might refer to him as a preacher during that time. He was a preacher who was a specialist in the law. It also, he was involved in the civil law, but he was an expert in what the book taught. The extraordinary thing about this particular lawyer, or this expert in the Bible, he asked one of the most simple Bible questions. And what I can understand as I think about this is, there are a lot of people today, preachers, so-called Bible scholars, who don't find the right answer to their Bible questions because they come with the same attitude of this lawyer. And his difficulty is seen early on. I have underlined, he came testing Jesus. He came tempting Jesus. And as he asked this question, he asked it not because he wanted to know the answer, not because he wanted to know what to do, but rather, he asked it because he wanted to show Jesus up. He was trying in some way to trick Jesus, to show Jesus that maybe he didn't know how to answer that question. He came testing him, tempting him. And I believe a lot of people today don't get the right answer to Bible questions because they don't ask in the right spirit. And that brings us to the first point that we're going to make from this reading today. And that is, one must have the right spirit to find the Bible answer. Perhaps you've been in a Bible study before, or maybe in a Bible class, and someone asks a question, tempting you, testing you. Not really interested in what the answer is. Not asking because that person wants to know what to do, or that person is desirous of doing, but they ask a question because they think you don't know the answer. And so they're tempting you, they're testing you. Or maybe the question illustrates that there's something that is inconsistent with what you're saying. I remember someone talking about having this question raised. They were talking about baptism with someone, and the person said, "Well, let me ask you this." He said, "I know of a man who was baptized in a tub while the man was standing outside baptizing. Do you think that's scriptural?" Well, he wasn't asking because he was really concerned about what the Bible taught. He was asking thinking, okay, you're so smart, you answer that one. You give the answer to that question. And that's what this man is doing to Jesus. And so what I would say first of all is, what you get in the way of an answer from God depends partly on how you come asking from God. And if you really don't want to know the answer, you're not going to find the answer. But if you come wanting to know the answer and you ask in sincerity, then what we'll see in this particular reading is it will help us to understand how we can go about finding the answer. But the first thing in order to find the right answer for a Bible question is we must come with the right attitude, with the right spirit. Well, verse 25 says the question that the lawyer asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And you know, that's the greatest question that a person can answer. But the problem is he asked that question because he thought really there was no answer. It's kind of like some of these questions you hear sometimes. How are we going to know from where we came? How do we know what happens after death? How can we know there's a God? How can we know we are forgiven? Now we can know those things, but the question is, ask in a way indicating that really you just don't know the answer. Jesus gives the answer to his question in verse 26. He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" And maybe the greatest lesson that we can learn in this particular reading is this. If you have a religious question, if you have a Bible question, the one answer to that question is, what is written in the law? And that brings us to our second point. If we want to know the answer to Bible questions, then one must look in the Bible to find the Bible answer. And I want to follow that up with this. That is the only way to find the answer to a religious question. And that ought to give us some insight as to how to conduct a discussion of a religious question. Anytime somebody wants to know the answer to a religious question, the answer is what we have to do is we have to go to the Bible. We have to read the Bible. We have to see what the Bible says. And what that says is this. That it really doesn't matter what I think, or it really doesn't matter what somebody else thinks, or somebody says, well, what does the church teach on that? Well, the church per se doesn't have any teaching on that. We simply follow what the Bible teaches. And that is the only way that we can find the answer to a Bible question. What is written in the law? And so a simple implication of that is this. Somebody comes and says, well, do you have to be baptized? Well, what does the law say? What does the book say? In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus tells his disciples, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now that's what the book says. Or in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, again a passage that we're familiar, very familiar with. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all that is to say is, if we want to know, does a person have to be baptized, is we have to find the answer in the Bible. And a broader way of what that means, every answer to every Bible question is found in the Bible, and we need to read our Bibles. Jesus says to this lawyer, how readest thou? What is written in the book? How do you read it? And he's not asking, what is your opinion on it? He's saying, what have you read? What do you know? What does the book say? And the lawyer actually knew the answer. His answer, verse 27, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. This do, and you will live. You know, that tells us a lot too. The lawyer, he knew the answer. He knew exactly what the law taught. And before we say more about that, let me say something about his answer. If a person is going to inherit eternal life, then he'll have to love God more than anyone or anything else. And there are some active things that grow out of loving God. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, John says this by inspiration. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. If we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, then what we're going to do is we're going to keep His commandments. That's just what is involved in our loving God. Well, the next thing that Jesus says in verse 28, after the man had answered correctly, Jesus says, you have answered right, do this, and you will live. And that brings us to our third point. If we want to know the answer to a Bible question, number one, we have to come in the right spirit. We have to ask with the right attitude. Number two, we have to look in the Bible to find the answer to what the Bible says. And then one must be willing to do what the Bible says. And the lawyer's problem is like probably most people in all the world. And I would dare say that it would be my problem, it would be your biggest problem. That is, it's not knowing what we ought to do, but it is simply doing what we know we ought to do. A lot of people, they want to blame their disobedience on God. Well, you know, I just can't understand what the Bible has to say. I just don't know what to do. Well, the way to find out is to open the Bible and see. And Jesus says to this lawyer, your problem is not knowing. You know. But your problem is doing what you know you ought to do. You don't want to do what you know is right. And Jesus just simply says to him, after answering the question correctly, this do, and you shall live. Well, that's really not the end of the story. the lawyer can just almost hear his mind working. He might do what some people, or he did what some people might do today. Now that's just too simple. You mean all there is to biblical interpretation is to read the Bible and that's it? Well, that leads us to the next question. In verse 29, the lawyer said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And you know, that's the way people are today. Well, I know what that passage says, but I just can't understand it. That's hard. What does it mean, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? What really does that mean? Well, we have identified for us the lawyer's problem in that verse, verse 29. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And there's the problem. Oftentimes, when it comes to trying to find out an answer to a Bible question, a question is asked, and this man wasn't reading, wanting to know what God wanted him to do. He was trying to justify what he already believed. He was trying to justify himself. And that happens all the time. And we can be guilty of that. We read the Bible not really looking and listening and trying to understand what God is telling us, but we may read it at times trying to justify what we're already doing. I'm not asking you to do this, but if you have a set of pulpit commentaries, go and read comments on John chapter 3, verse 5, where Jesus tells Nicodemus, "Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." And what you will find is the person who is commenting gives reasons why water could not mean baptism in that passage. And as he gives his reasons, he comes around to the conclusion, basically, if water meant baptism, it would mean that a man would have to be baptized, and we know the Bible's not teaching that. And so somebody looks at God's Word. And when it just comes to sexual immorality, somebody says, "Well, surely the Bible doesn't teach that homosexuality is a sin. God loves people. Doesn't God want people to be happy?" And then you point out a passage where the Bible teaches that homosexuality is a sin, and a person's response is, "Well, that can't be what it means." Or maybe here are two people who are not married, and they care for one another. And so they have premarital relations. They may even decide to live together. And the Bible says that is fornication. The Bible says that is sin. And again, people reason, "Well, how can two people loving each other be wrong? Surely the Bible is not, it can't be teaching that, because if it's teaching that, then look at all the people who are in sin." Here this man came asking Jesus this question. This second question. But he's asking, trying to justify himself. And basically, he's saying it couldn't mean what it says, because it would mean that what I believe is wrong. Love your neighbors as yourself. I can't love my Gentile friend as I do my Jewish brethren. So the passage can't be that simple. And then Jesus says, the point of the story, or the point of the lesson, is like this story. Verse 30, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. Now, there are a lot of good things in this story. But the point Jesus is making is this. To the lawyer, you say this passage is hard. But Jesus says it's kind of like this. One man gets hurt, 2 men ignore him, and 1 helps him. Who is his neighbor? That's really how simple it is. And the lawyer says in verse 37, he who showed mercy on him. You see, that's not so hard. And for the most part, that is the way it is in dealing with God's Word. The point of this story that Jesus is making is, it wasn't hard for that man to understand. The lawyer did not understand because he did not want to understand. And God's Word is as clear as man is willing to make it. If we're trying to justify ourselves in our minds, we can cloud things to the point that nobody can see. But if we're simply trying to be obedient to what God's Word teaches, then it's just as clear as it can be. And that's just the truth about the Bible. If we want to know what a person needs to do to be saved, or if we want to know what's involved in being a faithful Christian, then what has to happen is one has to come to the Bible, one has to open the Bible and read it. And everyone, I would say almost without exception, there might be a few exceptions, but everyone has the ability to read and to understand what to do. The lawyer says, we can't understand it. Jesus says, you can understand. And he says it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. We must have the right attitude. We must have the right spirit when we come to the Bible asking questions. We must look in the Bible, and only in the Bible. That's the only place we're going to find the answer. And then we must be willing to do what the Bible teaches. The Lord has blessed us with common sense. And if we want to know what to do to inherit eternal life, then what we do is we come to the Bible, we read it, and we understand it. And Jesus reply to the lawyer's answer in verse 37 by saying to him, go and do likewise. And that's what we have to do. We have to do. Not trying to justify, making, we just simply have to do what God's Word teaches. And what that says is, if you want to have eternal life, if I want to have eternal life, then we have to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then we have to love our fellow man, our neighbor, as ourselves. To love God, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. To love our neighbor as ourselves is to be concerned about his soul. To help our neighbor understand what God wants him to do so that he might be saved as well. That's one lesson, or maybe three lessons, that we can learn from the story of the prodigal son. And as we prepare to sing the song that will be projected on the screen in just a minute, let me just say this. It may be that you understand your responsibility to the Lord, either in becoming his child or in being faithful as a child. And you've not been faithful. You know you've not been faithful. The Lord knows you've not been faithful. Others know that you've not been faithful. Then what this story encourages, and what we want to encourage one another, is to do just like Jesus told this lawyer, go and do thou likewise. Stand and sing for our encouragement, please.